Today's Bible reading is from John chapter 1, verse from 43 to 51. John chapter 1, verse from 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe, because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angel of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, wonderful WEC family, and welcome. As Tim mentioned, I'm a recent inductee to the Band of Brothers, who may be asked to come and to preach and teach the word every now and again. If you're new or visited a WEC, we extend a very warm welcome to you. We're going to spend a little bit of time in God's word this morning and see what it reveals to us. And so keep your Bibles open. Now, in my line of work, I look after a stock warehouse, which is connected with a Riverina Home Centre that positions itself as your complete home solution. From designer appliances to tiles to heating and cooling options to flooring to bathrooms, kitchens, laundries, window coverings and more, we have everything you need to transform your tired old home as you live out the next 20 or so years of your earthly life. Well, and I should say, this is not a paid advertisement, and neither am I a shareholder of the company. But in today's passage of Scripture, in stark contrast, we are going to illustrate the Son of Man, Jesus, as our true all-in-all. And as Tim said, without a doubt, that Jesus seeks out and finds his own, as he knows intimately his own, and that he invites all of humanity to come and see and follow him in discipleship as his loving possession, to follow his way to his complete eternal home solution. Before we commence in earnest, let us come to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather to hear your precious word, open our hearts and minds to receive your message. May your Holy Spirit guide and transform these words as we seek to live out your promises and bring glory and honour to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as Tim said, is the last study into the first chapter of John's Gospel. After this week, we'll take a hiatus and only to take up further study in John's Gospel later in the year, I believe. This brings us to the first heading that you have on your outline, which states the first truth of the Son of Man, our all-in-all, in that Jesus finds his own. We learnt and read in last week's passage that John the Baptist was with his two disciples when he saw Jesus walk on by. And John said, "Look, the Lamb of God. The two disciples, John and Andrew, asked Jesus where he was staying, expressing a need and a desire to be with him. And he said, "Come and you will see." After following and spending some time with Jesus, Andrew immediately went and found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," and brought him to Jesus, who subsequently named him Cephas, translated as Peter. If we follow on from today's text at the beginning of verse 43, we read, "The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Similarly, as we heard with Andrew, Philip, after being told by Jesus to follow him, then found Nathanael. It's clear to me that Jesus understood that in finding one of his disciples, that they would naturally in turn go out and find others. Keeping in mind that the Messiah, the anointed one, prophesied by the prophet Daniel in Daniel 9, by all calculations was expected to turn up in their day. So there was a hopeful anticipation and a real excitement that was stirred up as well by John the Baptist and his extraordinary teachings. By Jesus seeking out disciples and them finding others, a template, an example for kingdom building that produces both a significant domino effect and a ripple effect began. Not only for the establishment of Jesus' core disciples, known as his 12 apostles, apostle being one sent out, but in gaining followers who would take up the invitation to come and see and discover Jesus more personally, telling others of the good news of the Son of Man who would become their all in all. It is a forerunner for the Great Commission that Jesus himself spoke to his disciples of after his resurrection that we hear in Matthew's Gospel. Then Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the same command still called of us today as kingdom-minded people and followers of Jesus, and the very command we witnessed and actioned last weekend with the wonderful baptisms of Beth, Charlie and Silas by the river. I use dual illustrations of a domino and a ripple effect to distinguish in some ways that the domino effect centres around a close personal relationship formed to affect and influence, to start an initial movement in trust, and the ripple effect to demonstrate a multi-generational and directional momentum that then occurs. Best seen, I think, through Andrew telling brother Peter, Philip seeking out Nathanael, to Jesus preaching to hundreds and thousands, through to reformers like Luther, evangelists like Billy Graham, and even here at WEC in modern times. If we read on in verse 44, we are told by John the disciple that Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. The town of Bethsaida was a fishing village on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, which was some 2 days' walk by foot from where they were with John the Baptist when Jesus found them at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan. We read that Andrew was one of the original disciples of John the Baptist. I think there was every chance that both Philip, Nathanael and Peter were in this region after hearing about John the Baptist's following and extraordinary teachings. Significant to Jesus intentionally seeking out and finding his disciples was their response on being called. We read in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 4 that both Peter and Andrew were called by Jesus at once, left their nets and followed him. Likewise, shortly after, Jesus called James and John, and we hear they immediately left their boat and their father and followed him. As we heard last week from Tim, culturally it was normal for a person to ask a rabbi or a teacher if they could follow them and learn from them and spend quite a deal of time with them. It was more likely, though, that those rabbis would turn those people away because they had to feel that the student had both the commitment and the ability to become like them. We also understood from the age of about 5 that children learnt the scriptures until they got to their late teens, when a lot of them learnt a trade. Not that I believe they ever stopped meditating on scripture. Jesus sought out and hand-picked men from ordinary backgrounds to follow him, and this highlights Jesus' wisdom and divine knowledge of the inner man through the working of the Holy Spirit. Jesus turned the way of thinking and acting upside down, which would become Jesus' mark of the new covenant he came down to earth to usher in, where servanthood and reaching out to the downcast, the forgotten and despised, were a cornerstone, like Jesus himself as the cornerstone, healing those who were sick and crying out for help. When Philip found Nathanael, he told him in verse 45 of the text, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about who the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." This affirms Philip's knowledge of Old Testament prophecy and that he was a student of the Word of God. He referenced Moses from Deuteronomy 18:15, when he said to the Israelites, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, your brethren, him you shall hear." And just a few verses later in Deuteronomy 18:18, "I, God, will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words into his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him." We note Nathanael's skeptical response to Philip in verse 46, stating, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Now, Nazareth in those days was a backwater town, which in a lot of ways was a forgotten town. And Nathanael's response was a common Jewish sentiment in the first century, albeit that it accompanied with some bigotry and prejudice. It was like expecting the next mayor of Wagga to sort of stroll in from, say, Grong. In some ways, Nathanael's response was a forerunner to every other skeptic or doubter from Jesus' time right through the centuries to present non-secular believers. What is more important, though, and encouraging, was the inviting reply we hear from Philip, which echoes Jesus' own to the two disciples, as we heard last week, when he said, "Come and see." Well, what can we take and apply for these opening verses? We know ourselves as Christians, we have been found as a work of God and born by the Holy Spirit while we still rebelled and were enemies of God. In this spiritual new birth, we were called to respond to Jesus finding us by knowing and following him in discipleship, to be part of the consequential domino and ripple effect for Jesus and the kingdom through the working of the Holy Spirit, the helper Christ left with us to guide and to lead us to the ultimate glory of God the Father. We are called to discipleship, a lifelong process of following Jesus, to discipline ourselves, to learn from Jesus' example through intentional and constant meditation of the Word, to trust in his unchanging promises, to imitate his obedience, his teachings and way of life, to develop and show Jesus' love for us to others in service and in relationship, and to allow the Spirit to use us as witnesses to invite others to come and see. Jesus calls and commands his followers to seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and in the words of Paul, put on like a well-worn coat from God himself, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness and long-suffering, and above all, love. It begs the question, who has Jesus found you to find? Who has Jesus, in finding you, called you to find? For those who feel Jesus has not found you or you consider not to be his followers, have you ignored him knocking or refused his loving invitation to come and see? Do you believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, including yours? As we heard, Jesus finds his own. He can achieve this because Jesus knows his own. Turning back to our text, we read this amazing exchange starting from verse 47. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." This statement alludes to Jesus seeing and knowing a man with no hidden motive, a true representation of the chosen people, as we read of in Psalm 32:2. How blessed is the man in whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whom whose spirit there is no deceit. The prophet Isaiah, writing of the coming of Jesus, the suffering servant, taking upon himself the transgressions, declared, "Nor was any deceit in his mouth." Jesus' assertion to Nathanael that he truly is an Israelite speaks to Paul's writings to the Romans when he said circumcision is not just an outward sign, but a true Jew or Israelite is one with an inward circumcised heart, a change of heart that aligns itself to the spirit of the new covenant Jesus was coming to bring about. In knowing Nathanael's inward nature, Jesus draws from the inside of the Holy Spirit in obedience to his Father's will, as he laid down aside his divine attributes, taking on the nature of man as described by Paul in Philippians 2:6-7. Jesus' revelation about Nathanael's character astonishes him as he replies in verse 48, "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked, and Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Now, in cultural settings, scholars have suggested that Nathanael was actually sitting under the fig tree, possibly studying scripture, when Jesus saw him. Although it cannot be verified, the fig tree was known in Jewish rabbinic times as a proper place for meditation. To re-emphasize Jesus' knowledge of inner man, we read in the third chapter of John's Gospel, "Many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people." It is like the author, J.K. Rowling, and her 7-volume fantasy Harry Potter series. A disclaimer, I have not read Harry Potter, but J.K. Rowling created a vast and complex cast of characters in whom she developed and shaped from her own experiences, personal traits and emotions. For instance, J.K. Rowling shares her birthday with Harry Potter, and his character was inspired by her own childhood neighbour, a mischievous young boy who used to dress up as a wizard, and she included emotions for Harry that she herself experienced within her own mother's death. Or best friend of Harry, Ron Weasley, on the other hand, was inspired by J.K. Rowling's oldest friend, who was both very funny and loyal, and deeply loyal. And so it is with God. He made us in his own image, and intimately, as we know, intimately we hear in Luke, "Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Or the all-encompassing God of Psalm 139, penned by King David, when we hear in the very first verse, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." It is very clear through these illustrations that we have nowhere to hide, as Jesus, our Son of Man, our all in all, really saw Nathanael literally under the fig tree, but also in soul and spirit. We too, in that regard, are spiritually naked before God. The question is, are you shaken by this overwhelming knowledge? Or do you hear Jesus personally saying to you, as he did Nathanael, I see you while you still struggle with repetitive sin or addiction or idolatry. I see you while you face that exam or upcoming assignment. Strive to balance the budget, pay the mortgage. I see you when you're experiencing ill health or grief. Feel inadequate about raising children or struggle at work or battle loneliness, anxiety or separation. This is the same Jesus who shed his precious blood for you on the cross, who says in Matthew's gospel, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. As we further reaffirm that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Important not to miss that God's intended mission through Jesus was to save the world. In the knowledge of this Saviour who finds his own when lost and dead to sin, calls his own in the stirring of the Holy Spirit and invites his own to respond in repentance, belief and faith, Jesus owns his own. We see this aspect as we turn to today's text and examine Nathanael's response to Jesus' demonstrated knowledge of him. In verse 49 we read, then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. This seemingly reflex response could have one saying that Nathanael speaks more than he knows. Nathanael, like a lot of people of that time, may have envisaged an all-conquering king that would free his people from Roman oppression and usher in a new Davidic age of peace and prosperity. He, along with many of his disciples, would not fully understand Jesus' ministry as the suffering servant, as depicted and prophesied in Isaiah 53, after his own death and resurrection. Nathanael, identified as Bartholomew the Apostle, would come to experience the truth and the fullness of this statement that he made to Jesus as he faithfully followed out Jesus in his ministry. And ultimately he was martyred for his faith and commitment to spreading the good news in India and Ethiopia and modern day Turkey. Nathanael's own admission of Jesus as a rabbi is significant because as a rabbi, Jesus would be come to know as the ultimate teacher that would interpret and highlight God's law and commandments in a new perspective, light of examining man's inner spiritual state before God. As Son of God, Nathanael correctly identified Jesus' power and authority and signified the fatherly authority that Jesus was fully obedient and dependent on God through the working of the Spirit. We recall that Jesus referred to Nathanael as truly an Israelite. So again, in responding to Jesus and calling Jesus the King of Israel, Nathanael is actually acknowledging Jesus as an Israelite to be his own king and in turn would be submitting to him. We continue to read in John from verse 50. Jesus said, you believe because I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This is a direct reference to Old Testament scripture from Genesis 28:12, which alludes to Jacob's dream when Jacob saw a ladder. The NIV translation says it's a stairway that was resting upon the earth, and its top reached up to heaven, and there were angels of God descending and ascending upon it. With Jesus referring to this, in this instance, Jesus as the Son of Man is alluding to himself as being the new stairway or mediator to God, the Father and his eternal kingdom. Jesus was saying, if you, Nathanael, believe in me and remain faithful, you will see the fullness of my glory in my heavenly kingdom I am purposed to establish. I believe it also alluded to the many signs and wonders that Jesus performed during his earthly ministry, confirming Jesus as a direct mediator between man and God, and someone who had the ability to bring heaven to earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. The term Son of Man is Jesus' most often self-designation and appears some 81 times throughout all the four Gospels, which is more than significant. It signifies the common title of man as occurs frequently in the Old Testament, but it also alludes to the fullness of his dominion over all things that the prophet Daniel spoke of in Daniel 7:13-14. In my vision was one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. We know, and Nathanael would come to experience firsthand, the establishment of Jesus' kingdom came by the shedding of Jesus' precious blood through his death on the cross and his triumphant resurrection. Through this one historically witnessed event, Jesus proved his own assertion that he was and he is the way, the truth, and the life. It forever establishes the Son of Man, I believe, as our all in all, without a doubt. Jesus calls us to trust in his established word and teachings, and with the indwelling of his helper, the Holy Spirit, to fall under his divine insight and leading. Like a blind or limited-sighted athlete, aka us, who is tethered and dependent on the sighted runner, the Holy Spirit, in unison of the revealed word in Holy Scripture, as we run the race of discipleship set before us. You will notice in the picture that the tether needed to run stride for stride is short to experience the greatest chance of completing the race in the lane Jesus has predestined you to run in. And so I believe it is with us, through close and constant meditation of God's word and through living out his will and commands, following Jesus' own example and teachings, we affirm his love and his promise to never leave us or forsake us, as Paul reminds us in Hebrews. It points towards coming to see, knowing, and believing in the name and finished work of Jesus. In Nathanael's day, it was through the physical flesh of walking with Jesus that he came to know those promises through the word and action. It's in active and daily meditation of the inspired word remaining tethered by the Holy Spirit that we get to experience the fullness and fleshing out of Jesus in our life as he brings to reality the witness of an infinite, loving, and merciful God the Father, in whom King David reflected in Psalm 139 is a God that hems us behind and before, whose right hand will hold us fast against the challenges and trials of life. In Jesus' claim to ownership is the gain of sonship and spiritual adoption as a direct result of God's grace and through faith in Jesus. We are no longer slaves, but a child and heir to the promises and blessings of God through Jesus' redemption. Though through God's love for us, we are found by Jesus as a Son of Man, the Son of Man, our all in all, in the working of that Spirit through Jesus' intimate knowledge of us. We are commanded to follow in his discipleship and live out God's will as Jesus' purchased possession by the shedding of his precious blood, to know, love, and serve and bring the good news of the gospel to others who are yet to be found but still part of Jesus' eternal kingdom, to extend Jesus' own invitation to come and see, to believe in him and to share in the eternal inheritance with all the saints. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are overwhelmed for your love for us through the sending of your Son Jesus, who found us in the depths of our darkness, brought light to our paths and lamp to our feet.